welcome to another episode of the No Strings Podcast, your number one Nigerian LGBTIQ podcast. And of course, I am your host, Mike Damon. Yes, it's been a while since our last episode, but I am excited to be here again to bring you another interesting conversation as usual. Now, for this episode, we are going to be talking some politics, gender equality, and of course, the upcoming Nigeria's 2023 presidential elections with an amazing guest on the show. And as usual, we are going to have so much to learn and unlearn. However, before we jump right into this episode's conversation, you know how it is. I'll take a quick time out and then come right back to continue. Stay on.
Hello. Are you looking to stay informed, enlightening, and up to speed with conversations around LGBT issues in Nigeria? Then visit www.nostringsng.com. No Strings, voice of LGBT Nigeria.
Welcome back. Yes, I just can't wait to start this conversation because I know that it's going to be amazingly productive, and not just that, but because it's going to be with someone that I have so much respect for. In fact, not just me, but almost everyone who knows her. And to be doing this with her, it's indeed a great honor. I'm sure you're not just going to be completely blown away by her wisdom and personality, but also get to know and understand why she's such a powerhouse and why it was particularly important that we have this conversation with her. Just to briefly introduce her, this is someone whose life has been dedicated to decades of lifetime commitment towards supporting and working to ensure the recognition of the rights of vulnerable and marginalized communities in Nigeria. In fact, she's done so much work around women's issues, LGBTIQ plus issues, people living with HIV, sex work, and you name it. And we are talking about no other person than Madame Dorothy Akenova. So, madam, you're welcome to No Strings Podcast. Now, for those who are not familiar with your work and what you do, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and the nature of your work?
My name is Chesna Milo Dorothy Nuhu Akenova. I am a feminist, a sexual rights activist, a breast cancer survivor. I am also a mentor for young people who desire to participate in politics for social change. I am the founder of the International Center for Sexual Reproductive Health and Rights. I founded the organization in the year 2000, and since then we have worked with young people expanding access to sexual reproductive health and rights education and services. We have done outreach to rural communities. We work with young people that are in school. We have used the comprehensive sexuality education curriculum to build capacity of adolescent girls in transformative gender interventions to curbing early marriage and other forms of gender-based violence.
Interesting, amazing work. Thank you. Now, it's no secret that you are currently aspiring for the office of the presidency come 2023. Can you tell us about what inspired that decision and why the office of the presidency?
For the past two decades, I have worked with young people, mentoring them in life competency skills, with the purpose of empowering them to make sound decisions on all matters that concern them directly and indirectly. And in about 6 years ago, we decided to scale this project up, and so we commenced the implementation of a project under the Increased Feminist Institute called Connecting the Dots. And this is a project that brings young people together from all the sectors of the Nigerian society, seeking to build their capacity in analytical processes for political restructuring, global economy, environmental justice, sustainable livelihoods, and giving them advocacy skills and capacity to make change happen both within and outside the mainstream. And at the end of the workshop, they had a meeting. And the meeting was to discuss how they can position themselves as young people with capacity in the upcoming 2023 elections. They came together and said, well, this is the time we'll go into politics, you know, and see ourselves fielding a candidate. And they decided that after checking all the criteria that they had, you know, which is a long list, they decided that I should be the one to bear the flag on behalf of the movement. This is the movement that has extended this invitation to me. So because this invitation has come from a movement, it is not of my own thinking, and so I do not have the privilege or even the opportunity to begin to say, no, it should be local government or state government or senator or, you know. So they came with this suggestion. I trust the young people. I trust the capacity that we have been building. Feminist colleagues and friends and I, we believe in what we have planted in them. And so when they come up with this kind of analysis and position, we understand and agree that they are doing the right thing.
Well, thank you. Now, speaking more about your interest in the office of the presidency, some would argue that you do not have, you know, the requisite political experience since you haven't held any political office before. And so this means, you know, makes you unfit to run for presidency. Now, how would you respond to this?
Well, I'm being very, very careful in responding to these questions because we know that INEC has regulations in place as regards to when people can begin to campaign, you know. So I'm not saying anything about me or any of the aspirations that I may or may not have. However, I can say that it is possible to know a credible person from their antecedents. What has this person done before to impact a life? Two, three, is there any documentation anywhere? Is there any evidence anywhere where such a person has invested of themselves and their resources to improve the quality of life of other people? Is there any institution that they have founded and they have worked with that they have left behind for people to say, yes, this is this person's legacy? Those are the pointers that can draw trust from people. Those are the pointers that can build solidarity for a movement, for political change. Those structures are the ones that Nigerians should begin to examine. We are not going to just take information from propaganda on social media. We want to see, commensurate with what talent God has given you, the opportunities you have, the resources you have, what have you done to touch lives? That must be demonstrated to Nigerians. That is what will bring that trust, that will build, you know, the support base for the candidate that is going to emerge successful in this 2023 elections.
True. So true. Now, in the history of Nigeria, only very few women have been courageous enough to vie for the office of the presidency, and most who tried never really got the right amount of support and as a result did not succeed. Now, given this reality, why do you think this is so, and how do you plan to make a difference?
I believe in times and seasons. I believe that people who have vied for the presidency have vied for presidency within the context of specific times and dispensations in our country. I do not believe that the women who have had the calling to do this have failed. That is wrong to say. They have not failed. What they have done is, in fact, colossal. They have demystified the office of the president and, as a matter of fact, even our constitution, whose language is not gender sensitive, making it appear as though only men are capable of holding certain offices in Nigeria. They have successfully demystified that. Each time a woman appeared, it showed that it is possible for women to vie for that seat. They did not have zero support, and the support has continually grown over time. More recently, on social media, in conversations in streets, in eateries, you would hear people repeatedly say, why don't we give women a chance? Because women, you know, are more sensitive and more caring and can multitask. They are better listeners, you know. Many times we are hearing this repeatedly. It is because these women who have come out and occupied public spaces have left credible results, you know, to show that women can deliver, you know, just as equally as the men, if given opportunity and the right kind of resources and support to do the work. So they have worked, they have succeeded in paving the way, they have set the pace for women who are coming behind them. They have not failed. I will never look at it that way. They are, in fact, a success in their own time. And because times continue to change, seasons continue to change, contexts continue to transform, they are not the same. I believe that we are getting closer to a time where a woman will emerge the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. No better time than now. And this is the opportunity. Many women I have seen in several platforms where I belong, we are ready to make that statement. We are ready to demonstrate it, that women have reached the edge of occupying Asorok.
Wow, thank you so much, Madam Dorothy. Thank you. Now, given your precedent, background and experience as a human rights activist with decades of experience advocating for the rights of minority groups, particularly the LGBTIQ plus community, how will this reflect in your leadership, and what plans do you have towards improving the current and unfavorable political and social dispensation which has contributed to ruining the lives of LGBTIQ people in the country?
I believe that we are all born equal in rights and in dignity. Nothing will ever change that principle. It's a principle. It's a value, a core value. Now, our constitution, you know, we now have laws that are anti-discrimination. This is time for Nigerians to begin to revisit those laws. We are a signatory as a nation to conventions and treaties on human rights, mostly with no reservation, as far as I remember. The African Charter on Human People's Rights, the optional protocol to that charter. Nigeria has domesticated. So there is no reason why Nigeria should not be held accountable to these commitments. As an activist, as a mentor, I insist that Nigeria upholds its commitment and takes its relevant place in the Committee of Nations. We cannot afford to be paying lip service or be hypocritical. Why are we in a hurry to get global fund support to do HIV programming with sex workers, injectable drug users, men who have sex with men. And at the same time, imprisoning these same communities. That is hypocrisy. And these things need to be brought to fore. People need to begin to have dialogue, conversation, debates about this issue. We need to start to interrogate these ways of engagement so that we can forge a way forward that supports both the government to continue to do its work credibly, but also the communities that the government claims to be serving and protecting on these projects. We need to unveil these matters. We need to have public discourse on these matters so that we are sure where we stand. We cannot with one hand collect huge amount of monies to do projects with key affected populations while at the same time criminalizing them. It doesn't work. It's hypocritical. And that needs to be discussed, and that needs to be addressed.
Indeed, yes. Thank you so much, Madam Dorothy, once again. Thank you. That was well spoken, and I think that that was, you know, pretty clear enough. And then finally, why do you think, you know, people should support your campaign, and how can people do this, you know, should in case they want to?
Right now, there is no campaign going on. Right now, people who have dreams and visions are just busy putting structures in place. That's what people are doing. And so my advice is that those who are interested in supporting a candidate that has the kind of principles that we cherish, you know, of inclusivity, of participation, of transparency and accountability, of integrity, should liaise with the Social Change Initiative. That is the movement that was formed by the graduates of the Connecting the Dots and other affiliates of INCREASE who have gone through behavioral change communication and advocacy skills building. Working with them will enable anyone who joins to see things differently from how most Nigerians see them when it comes to politics. You know, we are saying no to godfatherism. We are saying no to money politics where votes are bought. We are saying no to where candidates are imposed, you know, in parties and so on and so forth. We want integrity. We want transparency, both in structures and processes. So those who are interested in, you know, participating and pushing this sort of agenda should link up with the Social Change Initiative.
Wow, wonderful conversation indeed, I must say. And that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much, Madam Dorothy. And just to remind us all, please don't forget to stay updated with the No Strings podcast and other important news content from Nigeria. Do visit our website at www.nostringsng.com. And please don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at No Strings NG. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation. Please keep the comments and feedback coming. And we really, really appreciate. I'll say goodbye now until I bring you another episode soon. Bye-bye, and thanks for listening.